Welcome to the Keeping It Young radio program, conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. I'm Dave.
And I'm Bethley.
And we are the Youngs. Join us now as we have a special edition of Questions and Answers with David and Abigail Adams.
Let's jump to the next one. Here's the question: how can parents help train their children to date effectively towards marriage? I know that our generation is getting married later on average. It's not always a problem, but sometimes young people can just find themselves in a situation of just dating and never moving past that, never thinking to move past that,
right?
Just kind of being stuck there. How can you help train your kids?
Well, that is a great question and a loaded question as well, because it's not an easy answer in the culture of our day. We have, for some reason, come to a place to where we can just go through the motions and not train our children in any way to be prepared for marriage or dating. The roles and responsibilities can be a big hindrance. In our culture, we kind of, you know, hesitate to teach our daughters to be a wife and our boys to be a man who leads. And yet, what we're finding is that our adult children, maybe our daughters who, you know, hey, I'm fine without a man. I can lead myself and live my own life and do it my own way and so forth, can hinder. No guy wants to think about, well, I guess I'll marry the girl, but, you know, she doesn't need me and she's, you know, whatever. So one thing we have to do as moms and dads, where I'm going with that, is to say we have to train our children in biblical roles and responsibilities. We have to prepare our daughter that God will put a man in her life, and that man in her life will be her spiritual leader to follow him. Mm-hmm. And we do believe that we're heirs together of the grace of life. We do believe that. But we also believe that God designed us uniquely with unique responsibilities and unique roles so that we can learn and apply God's word inside the framework of marriage. And so training our children about roles and responsibilities is absolutely important, and teaching them to embrace God's word and embrace God's law and embrace what God says in his word. Does that make sense?
I think that's excellent. I was also going to just take it in a little bit different direction, how that culturally dating is kind of a hobby. It's just something that everyone does. Oh, yeah, I have a date. I have a date Friday night, or I have a lunch date, or I have a coffee date, or whatever. And it's looked at as, I don't want to say frivolous, but it's just something that people do without any purpose in mind. Mm-hmm. So that as parents of young children, training them that as you are getting to know someone of the opposite sex, yes, you can just have friendships, but if it's something that you're just thinking, you know, I'm talking with this girl and she's just a friend. She's always going to be just a friend. Well, you don't ask her on a date. But if you look at a young lady and you're like, you know what? I think she's pretty. I think she has character. I think she loves the Lord. I think I'd like to get to know her. Well, then you are dating with purpose and you take her out, you talk.
So what you're saying is, I was saying that we train them to think of their responsibilities and roles and prepare them for that. But you're saying it's also a matter of their thinking.
Yes.
We've got to teach our children to think in light of, I want to be married.
I want to be
married.
And
I'm looking for a person because I plan to marry them.
I don't want to just date to date. I think in the last episode, David, you had mentioned that you had already graduated from college. You didn't want to just date to date. You wanted to get to know someone for the purpose of marrying them. And so you were waiting on that, I'm assuming, right? Until you saw Abigail. So there was probably some bright lights and angels singing when you saw her sitting in your classroom. I don't know. Sparkles going everywhere. But anyway, that's what I'm saying, that most of us, we let our children swallow the cultural lie of dating is just, it's a hobby. Yeah. It's something we do instead of a purposeful thing in order to get to know someone, in order to marry them.
Yeah, and even in a different practical side of that is that one of the reasons we encouraged and promoted our children going to a Christian college is because we knew there would be a pool of people there to choose from that would be of marrying training.
Of marrying training.
Is that right? That's not the right phrase.
They were trained to marry.
That's the word I'm looking for, the phrase I'm looking for. they were also in an environment that was fostering the relationship between guys and girls in a protected environment.
Yes.
And so we were very pro-Christian college in our family for that reason, and each of our children. And we saw that recently, and I want to be careful with this one because our son is dating and has interest in a girl. But in following a protocol, one of the things I encourage him to do is you got to get to know her family. And we don't know anything yet as far as God's will about this. It's just a relationship that's beginning to blossom, beginning to take
root. Right. Fruit, it's a friendship.
It's a friendship, yes. Right now. But I appreciated the fact that when my son talked to her dad, one of the things he made very clear was that our desire for our daughter is that she be married. So if you're thinking, you know, I'm interested in getting to know this girl because I'm interested and perhaps seeing if this is the one I'm to marry, then he said, we're okay with this. And so it's not just a recreational, fun little thing. No, right. Our plan in our life is that we find the spouse God has for us and we serve God together. And I appreciated her dad in, you know, emphasizing that. Mm-hmm. And it was good for our son to even realize, you know, this is not, we're not just playing games. And of course, he's pretty thinking that way already. I mean, he was right away thinking, all right, here I am in college. It's time to find a wife.
I mean, freshman year.
Halfway through freshman year, it's getting late there, buddy.
But the fact of the matter is our culture doesn't think that way. But right. One of the reasons he does is we've encouraged him to think that way. Mm. So embrace roles and train your children about the different roles and responsibilities. Promote marriage and make marriage a desirable goal. Mm-hmm. Make it desirable. And then do what you can to put them in places where they can in the framework of Christianity. And I know not everybody goes to a Christian college, but moms and dads, you should seriously consider it if for no other reason for that alone, that your children can get to know someone in the confines of some rules that protect their purity.
Yes.
And there's no foolproof plan there, but it is all a package deal that really helps and puts it all together. Yes. There's probably a lot more that could be said, but
yes.
All right. Anything you'd want to say before we do another question?
I think we covered that.
Okay. What do you think, Dave? Did we cover it?
Let's do this. All right. We've got just a couple more minutes and we've got, you know, just a very niche questions, not very broad at all, very easy to answer quickly. What is some advice that you would give to a newly married or soon to be married couple? So just super simple.
You know what? Why don't you two start off on that one? Because you're more newly married than we are.
Well, I will say that the fantastic Dave and Bethley Young gave us great support, among other things, gave us some different books to read. That we read one of them together, What the Bible Says About Love, Marriage, and Sex by Dr. David Jeremiah. Mm-hmm. Plenty of fantastic resources out there. That was one that we really enjoyed, and so I appreciated Dad and Mom giving us that one. We'd read through most all of the chapters together before we got married, and then we would go to Starbucks or something together and just kind of talk through what we had read. We really enjoyed doing that. So that's definitely something that's standing out there.
So reading?
Reading together, talking together.
So basically there's one Mom gave me, what's it called? It's Letters to My Daughters.
Oh, the Artist Being a Wife. Yes, and by Barbara Rainey.
Yes, it's a very special book because it's really, really good and very practical. Mm-hmm. My copy's very special because Mom, you like underlined all through it and wrote in it. So it's just... So
you got a personalized copy for Mom.
Yes, so it's like really sweet, sweet memory, but very, very good book. So I will often give that one as a gift to
college students
we know
too.
Who are... graduating and about to get married to the girls. Yeah. So that's a good one for girls specifically.
I think that's great. Read, pray for each other, pray together. But I would also say, get advice and plan and talk about everything. Just start communicating because communication is God's great gift to help us be on the same page.
Yes.
And then focus, do a couple things here early in your marriage. Sometimes we focus before we're married on everything that is right. And then there's this tendency after we get married to start focusing on everything that is wrong. But the truth of the matter is everything that was wrong was also wrong when everything was right. And it's just that we don't get to know each other as well until after we're newly married.
Right.
Never overlook the wrongs, but balance them with the fact that the person that you married is still the right person you married.
They're still doing all the right things.
And so yes. Keep your focus and stay in love. Just always keep a sweet, happy marriage. Don't buy the thinking that we'll get over it. You know, this is newlywed, and sometimes we joke that way in the church. Oh, my goodness, they're in puppy love. But, you know, they'll get over it and simmer down. Mm-hmm. Well, we all need to be wise, but always stay in love and always stay happy and pursue each other. The thing that made you fall in love will keep you in love after you're married. The dating, the sweet talk, the friendship, the reading books together, the praying together, all of that will keep you in love all the days of your life. So you just never stop doing it.
Right. And if there is an issue that has come up that you cannot, you feel like you've talked and talked and you're not getting it settled, then there is no shame in reaching out to help. If you have an older couple in your church that they seem to be godly and walking with the Lord and they're in love, then take them out to dinner or have them over and say, hey, we just need a little bit of help with this.
That's
so
really
there's no shame in ever getting counsel or help.
Is there one more short question?
Let's do it.
All right. We're just right on the edge here.
Let's do this. We've got one more. College student reached out. He is going to be interning at a church this summer, and he wanted to know how he could make the most of this internship, or we could even broaden it out for college students or maybe just getting out into ministry. How can they make the most of those ministry opportunities?
That's really great. I would say serve the Lord with gladness.
Yes.
And I say that a lot, but give it your all. Serve the Lord with gladness and serve the Lord with gratitude. Sometimes you can get in ministry and you can get, you know, just so busy that you fail just to have a grateful heart. Mm-hmm. So do your responsibilities, set a schedule, get up on time and go to bed on time, invest in others. So I guess the top four things I would say, set a schedule, invest in others, and serve the Lord with gladness and serve the Lord with gratitude. Just be thankful. Yes. And remember, gratitude has to be expressed. So I can say, well, I have a grateful heart, but if you never say it to anybody, you may not have the grateful heart you think you have. So say it a lot. Every time somebody buys you a meal, does something special, say thank you.
Say it, write it, and it is amazing.
Email it.
Even if you're not feeling like you have a thankful heart, how that will direct your heart to actually express it in some way or another. But I would just add to that, just remember that most of life, whether it's ministry or working in a secular job, most of it is mundane, hard work. And we live for those moments that are amazing. Oh my goodness, that was an amazing ministry day. Look how many people came. But there's going to be a lot of mundane hard work that leads up to that amazing ministry day. So just serve the Lord with gladness, even in the mundane.
Absolutely. And remember that the mundane is essential to the amazing.
Yes.
Absolutely. You've been listening to Keeping It Young, where we have conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. Today was the conclusion of another episode of Question and Answers with David and Abigail Adams. Beth and I hope you enjoy these question and answer sessions. We always do, and we find them very profitable. I think you do as well. I hope you'll join us next time as we look at part two of a series entitled Teaching Your Children to Serve the Lord.
For more information, or to hear more Keeping It Young, go to tilradio.org or keepingityoungpodcast.com. This has been a co-production with Keeping It Young and TIO Radio Network.